You're watching Press TV's News Review, where we look deeper into some of the top stories of the day. On this news review, the Iraqi government is reportedly set to unveil a plan on making changes to the cabinet and fighting corruption. Iraqi media have quoted an official source as saying that Prime Minister Adel Abdelmahdi has agreed with the plan, which is supervised by a number of his aides. The plan includes a wide ministerial reshuffle of the formation of a high constitutional body to deal with corruption cases submitted to the country's Supreme Judiciary Council. Earlier, the Iraqi premier called on the three branches of the government to cooperate in his plans to purge the country of corruption. The development follows days of violent protests against the government's economic policies that left dozens of people dead and many more injured. Joining us now on this edition of the News Review, we have journalist and commentator Syed Mohsen Abbas, who's with us from the British capital, London. Also joining us from London, we have lecturer at Coventry University, Mr. Kenneth Farrow. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Let's start off with Mr. Mohsen Abbas in London. Give us your thoughts on the proposed plans for reforms in Iraq.
Well, from people's point of view, they've heard it all before. But to be fair to this government, they've only been in office for a year. And what's been going on really was part of an inheritance of an economic catastrophe, really, that's been going on in Iraq for some time, where the Americans have stepped foot in that land, to be honest. But currently, if we look at the background, the real background, not just the superficial riots and what's going on, because all of that has shades of the Arab Spring, and of course, the corruption in Baghdad and the government is there. Of course, the economic situation is not great. You've got people who are on £1.50. I mean, a quarter of the population earns less than £1.50, you know, a month. There's also this whole idea of like unrest in the background. Ayatollah Sistani, the Iraqi intelligence, foiled a plot to assassinate him. That has kind of something that you have to look at, along with, critically, General Soleimani, who has huge influence in Iraq as well, due to his defense against Daesh there, or his support of Hashdi Shaabi to defend Iraq at that time. He was also almost, well, there was a plot to assassinate him, which was foiled in Iran. But coming to this government, Abdelmahdi, Iraq has secured billions of dollars with China in terms of infrastructure building, against the oil. They refuse to slap sanctions on Iran. They're trying to broker a cessation of the Saudi-Iran tensions. They refuse MBS and Jared Kushner's plan for Palestine. These are just some of the things that irk the Americans. So there is a real suspicion in the background that because of all these tweets in Saudi Arabia, because of the kind of the general confusion, that this isn't just simply a protest of people improved economic conditions. There's also been a fueling by outsiders, rather like the Arab Spring saw in Syria, for instance.
Kenneth Farrow, first of all, weigh in on the recent plan unveiled by the Iraqi government to fight corruption, to make a reshuffle of a wide ministerial reshuffle, that is. And also, if you can, touch up on the facts that were just mentioned by Syed Mohsen Abbas about being some suspicions with regards to how these demonstrations escalated.
Well, I think we have to appreciate the fact that corruption is endemic in most governments across the world. It's just a question of what level. I think the cause of this, your previous speaker touched on it, in terms of the earnings of the average of £1.50 for people in Iraq. I mean, this is a country which has, which is the fourth richest country in terms of oil reserve. It's a country which could look after its population very, very well. And corruption isn't the cause of that. What is the cause of that is the lasting problem, the legacy of the invasion of Iraq by the Americans, and previous to that, the support of Saddam Hussein against the people of Iraq, and as an agent to destabilize the region. So all of these so-called historical points have to be taken into account currently, because if you're a five-year-old and you've grown up in war, as people have done in Iraq from 2003 to 2011, they know nothing else apart from war and violence. And so the violence that's been inflicted on the Iraqi youth is now coming back to haunt initially the government, but I think the international community as well. There has been no care for the youth of Iraq. There's been no care for the people of Iraq. Iraq is in debt. It owes $41 billion to the Gulf countries for their support against Iran during the Iran-Iraq war. It owes $6 billion to the Paris Club. And of course, the Americans had $1.6 trillion of debt, which they ran up, which they racked up during the war. And so all these immense pressures, financial pressures and political pressures, are now coming to a head. And I think we have to welcome this flame of hope, really, from the Iraqi youth, because this is a country which has suffered greatly through the invasion of the United States, the interference of European powers. And it's about time that we did see some kind of resolution in the country. After all, the country was promised peace by the West when it invaded. And this is just a blip, really, for that peace move.
Said Mohsen Abbas, are we looking at the lasting legacy of the Iraqi invasion? We know that the United States is still heavily involved in Iraq's economy, in its banking system, in oil and petroleum deals, and etc.
We cannot deny that Iraq is one of the grounds that the Americans will and are actually looking at as a means of defeating Iran. They're not pleased that the Iraqis are continuing their business relations with effectively helping Iran to bring in foreign currency and survive itself under the economic sanctions. You can't ignore the fact that America won't be happy about things like £284 million electric deals going to German companies rather than their own. Yeah, you can't help but notice that the Americans will be upset with this government's intention and willingness to buy S-400s from Russia. The fact that this government also opened up the Iraq-Syria crossing at Al Qaim has really peeved the Americans as well. So there's a lot of reasons, including all the ones I mentioned earlier as well, for why America would want to stoke any existing dissatisfaction that's economically there. And no doubt, 22% of the youths my colleague was talking about in Iraq are actually unemployed, you know, in that country. So that's a huge failing on the part of the Iraqi government. Whether it's to do with the way that the oil revenues have been paid out to transnational corporations, what the deals are between the government, how much revenue actually comes to Iraq, and how much is being siphoned off by these corporations, these moneylender corporations, we don't know exactly. But there's a lot more going on in the background visibly destabilizing Iraq than just this reason that's on the apparent surface of people being dissatisfied with the economy. So we've got to keep an eye on that. Of course, there's also reasons, there have also been tensions that Israel has caused. Five warehouses, for instance, of the Hashd al-Shaabi were knocked out, one commander killed on the Iraqi border. You've still got Daesh lurking around in Iraq. All of these are known to be connected to Israel, connected to the American policies. So there is deep suspicion about, of course, these unrests as to who's stoking them in the full way and who's also trying to maybe make benefit from them.
All right. Thanks a lot, gentlemen. Said Mohsen Abbas, journalist and commentator, joining us from London, and also lecturer at Coventry University, Kenneth Farrell, also joining us from the British capital. And with that, it brings us to an end here on this edition of the News Review. Stay tuned. There's plenty more to come here on Press TV. Bye for now.